as we gather together on this Veterans Day, we are reminded of those who have risked it all, in many cases even given their lives, for our freedom. Freedom from tyranny, freedom to practice Christianity in the way that we feel led instead of the government telling us how to practice our faith. We thank God for the freedom to be Christians, for our freedom to be this Baptist type of Christian. And we thank God for the men and women he has used to secure that freedom in peacetime and in war. Would you please stand if you have served? Yes, would you please stand if someone in your family has served? What's that? Oh, yeah. Thank you for your sacrifice. Freedom is a remarkable thing. We take it very seriously in this country, as we should. But I want you to imagine for a moment what it would be like if we did not have such freedoms. I want you to imagine for a moment that you've heard word of a dangerous enemy on the horizon. They swept in and they've stolen our country. Your home is gone. You and everybody you know has been taken captive and been enslaved by this oppressive country that's taken over. Now you live somewhere far from your home, along with a scattered people that you don't even know, but you know they come from what used to be your nation. Imagine the bitterness and the despair that you would feel. This is captured well within Psalm 137, and I'll give you a moment to turn there, where it says that the people sit by the river and cry. Psalm 137. To give you a little bit of background on this psalm, these were the people of Israel who have been kicked out of their nation by Babylon. Babylon has come in, stolen everything, and then sent the Israelites away. So they're in Babylon. They're not even in their home country. And you'll get the rest of it in the psalm. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is he who repays you for what has been done to us, he who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. It's a very gritty psalm. Their captors are taunting them. Hey, why don't you sing us a good patriotic song, you know, from that nation of yours we took over? Sing us something joyful, as if the people have anything left to be joyful about. In protest, where this taunting happens, they take their instruments and hang them up in the trees because they refuse to sing songs that were intended for God as entertainment for their captors. The people are so enraged, so tormented, that the psalm ends with this memory of how their children were killed before their eyes. And you can almost see the father shaking with anger, fist clenched, jaw clenched, shaking, saying, "We want for those who did this to us to suffer a similar fate." This is not a joyful song of Zion. It's a heartbroken outpouring of grief, of anger, a cry out to God for help, and a promise that they would never forget what was done to them, what they went through, and that later they would remember when God delivered them, this is what he delivered us from, and this is how he delivered us. Because we understand freedom best when we're reminded of those times when we didn't have it. This was not the first time that Israel had been enslaved, but it was in this moment of despair where they're by the rivers of Babylon crying, when they feel like they have no hope, but they return to God's word, and they remembered our forefathers were enslaved as well. Our forefathers in Egypt, they were kicked out of their homeland. They had their backs broken by the whip. They also saw their children killed in massacres. Just like as we are Christians who find our hope primarily in the Gospels, the Jewish people, they found their hope primarily in the book of Exodus, because there they could identify with those slaves who were slaves like them. And they hoped to identify with the redemption to say, we know how this slavery is, and we hope to know in the future how it is God will redeem us. It's always good for people who feel enslaved to return to God's word and remember that he is in the business of making captives free. They clung to this one promise in particular, what God had said to their forefathers, and they could feel that he was saying to them in their own situation. God sends them a promise in Exodus 6, verse 6. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. This is what God said he would do, and this is what he did. He conquered the Egyptians, he freed his people, and he instituted the Passover so that they might remember that he freed them and how. And they would pass that down to generations to come. And remember, this is what God did to secure our freedom. And so the Israelites internalized God's word and found freedom in their souls long before they found actual freedom in the body. In this Veterans Day, we remember what God has done to secure our freedom. Unless you come over from some other country, most of us have never really encountered this kind of slavery we talk about in the Bible. And one of my favorite TV shows right now is Hostages. I don't know how many of you have watched that, but it's a great TV show. It's so suspenseful and very meticulously crafted. The premise is that there's a family that's been taken hostage by terrorists, and they're supposed to go about their lives and go to school and go to work and act like nothing's wrong, act like there's not terrorists in their house waiting for them to get home, act like there's not a terrorist around the corner with a camera and a gun. They're supposed to act like nothing's wrong, because if they act like something is wrong, that'll clue in the authorities, and then the terrorist would punish them for that. So they have to wear a smile on their face, act like everything's normal, and act like they're not captive. They can't tell anybody, because around every corner, there's someone who's in on it. Every single action, every conversation, everything they do is being controlled by the enemy, and it sounds pretty hopeless. Just like I bet none of us can identify with being a slave, I bet none of us have been a hostage. But stick with me, because I'm here this morning to tell you, we all have been slaves. We all have been hostages, and it's Jesus who sets us free. We have all been held hostage to sin. Maybe you go to school, you go to work, you put a smile on your face, and you act like you're happy, when in truth, you're constantly under the control of that thing in your life that has you in shackles. Maybe around every corner, there's someone who's in on it, who entices you to sin, and maybe it can feel pretty hopeless. And the Israelites, just like the Israelites who were kicked out of their own country, maybe you haven't been kicked out of a physical place, but you know that at one time you lived in the center of God's will. You had that kind of connection with God where you knew you and God were okay, so to speak. And maybe now in your life you know your soul no longer lives in that promised land. You've moved somehow, and you want to get back. Like the tormentors by the side of the stream that taunted Israel, perhaps Satan is whispering in your ear, where is your God now? Do you feel like singing now? Hang up your harp. Shut your mouth and fall in line, because you can't be free. I've got you now. Perhaps just like the captives of Israel, you need in your life to be reminded of that promise that God tells us. In your moment of captivity to sin, maybe you need to be reminded that God said, I am the Lord, and I will redeem you. See, God begins what he's saying with this promise of his identity. I am. I am, I was, I will always be. He declares what he's going to do by starting off with his identity. Just like a military strike would begin by someone's command, someone of authority, God declares that the great I am is behind this. It is by his command. The one who has always been there. And Christian, if you are in Christ, you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he says in Romans 12:11-12, that Satan cannot pry you out of his hand. It's as if God is responding to Satan and says, oh no, I have got them now, Satan, and you can get behind me. He says, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And for us today, he brings us out of whatever it is that has us in shackles, that has us constrained, whatever it is that has you tied down. The yoke in that day was what you put on two animals when they carried a cart and they carried a heavy load. But Jesus says, I've carried that heavy load on the cross. I've carried that on my back. I took it to Calvary and left it there. Don't go back and get it. What this all means to us is that God is still in the business of setting captives free. And when you are free in him, you don't have to be captive to anything anymore. You don't have to hold on to the burden of your sins. You can leave that up on Calvary. Paul says in Romans 6:18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. As one old song says, we all serve somebody. Is it going to be the devil or the Lord? Will we be slave to Jesus who gives us freedom? Or will we be enslaved to sin? We have before us great testaments of heroism, of people who gave their lives to purchase our religious freedom. But don't think that means you're free. And I'll repeat that because it's really important. Just because someone died for you doesn't mean you're free. Jesus died for your sins, but that doesn't mean that you're free from them. We don't have the guarantee of freedom. We have the gift of freedom. We have to grasp it. We have to accept the gift, or it means nothing to us. The judge has stepped in. He's paid what we could not pay. He says, you can go free. He's personally removed the shackles and invited us to walk out of our spiritual prison. But inexplicably, we often choose to stay in a jail cell that we have come to know so well. We've lived in that jail, that spiritual prison, so well that sometimes it's hard for us to conceive of a world outside of it or how we would relate to that world. So we shrink back into that spiritual prison. Or maybe we take a few steps out and sometimes we walk back in. The point today is this. The enslavement that we would all hate. We love freedom. We hate enslavement. The enslavement you would hate and fight against, you're in, unless you take hold of this freedom you've been given by God. So let me ask you, are you really free? God has offered it up. People in our nation's military has ensured that you get to hear about this message of freedom. People have given their lives so that we would be able to learn and have religious freedom and learn about Jesus and live that life out. So what are we going to do with that? Are we going to walk away from it? Are we going to ignore the sacrifice? Are we going to act like it was all done for nothing? So God sends his son to die. He uses people in our nation's military to fight, to protect our freedom. So what are we going to do now? Okay, I've got this freedom in Christ. What do I do with it? Why would I want it, and what does that mean? It means that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death, and Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It means that living for Christ is the only true way to live. We thought we knew what life was until we had life in Christ. And once you've had life in Christ, there's nothing to compare it to. Nothing that came before, during, or after can compare to that life we have in Christ. That if we don't accept Christ, we don't really have freedom. The freedom's been offered to us, but we haven't taken grasp of it. But once we've accepted Christ, he does so much for us. He gives us guidance and how to lead our lives. He gives us peace and comfort in the storms of life. He changes us for the better and gives us fresh perspective on life. He blesses us by helping us to make better homes, better relationships. He emboldens us to do things we could not do without God's help. He does the miraculous when we pray inside of his will. There's nothing that compares to this. This is real freedom. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, you are not free. You might think you are, but you are a slave to your sins. If you say, oh, no, that's not the case, Pastor Travis. I only listen to me. Well, who does me listen to? Is it the culture? Because the culture is listening to Satan. Try again. You say, well, I have that little voice inside of me that I listen to. Well, whose voice is that exactly? You say, well, I've got the little angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. Well, how do you know that you're listening to God's voice if you don't know God? It doesn't make any sense. We have to know God. We have to be in relationship with him to really experience that freedom. Now, I think Veterans Day is great. I love to see patriotism. I love to see flags flying. I love celebrations of freedom. But again, if you don't have Jesus, you're not free. There are many people who are celebrating freedom that they don't have. Yes, you are free from tyranny. You're free from an oppressive government. But are there spiritual powers in your life that are raining down on you? Because those are so much worse. And what are you doing about it? Christians, we may have freedom in Christ, but oftentimes we act like that former self, that spiritually chained up self. We fall back into old habits that are comfortable. Or sometimes we're very uncomfortable with it, but we go back into doing things that people would have us do because we let other people control us. We don't want to look different. We don't want someone to think we're not falling in line. So what have we made people when we let others dictate for us how to live? We've made them dictators. So my question to you is, how many dictators are in your life? Are you letting God rule over your life? Or have you unconsciously chosen dictators around you and then naively said, well, I'm free, when you're not? It is said that sometimes when people are in prison for a long time and they're released, they struggle with how do they even act out in the world. And subconsciously, they start committing acts of crime to get back into prison because at least they know that world. And I think the same is true of us, that yes, we are free in Christ, but sometimes we go back into that old way. We go back to what we know. We start to go back into that spiritual prison. When God has set us free and it's time to cast off those chains. Today is the day to accept your freedom that was purchased at such a cost. Today, maybe God is dealing with you about something and you need to talk to somebody about it. Maybe you feel the handcuffs on your wrist but you can't see them and you say, hey, I need some help getting these handcuffs off. Why don't you come forward and we'll take those cuffs off together? You can be free today. You can have a reason to sing. Perhaps you feel like a captive, being held hostage in your own life. You don't feel like anyone understands or can help you to get out of that slavery, that captivity, that being held hostage. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus can guide you out of that darkness. If you'd like to come forward for prayer, hey, I've been a slave too. I don't claim any perfection. I just know that God has saved me and that God works on me. And it's only because of Jesus that I can say I'm free. And I'd love for you to experience that same freedom as well. When you've got something good, you want other people to share it. And that freedom in Christ, there's nothing like it. And I want you to experience it as well. Maybe today you feel like your life has been stolen. You look at the world around you, you don't even recognize it anymore. Where are the ways of relating to people, the relationships, the world I once knew? Maybe you feel like your world has been taken apart. This place is not your home. And you'd be right. There are desires in each one of us that God has put there, desires that cannot be satisfied in this world because they were not intended for this world. They're intended for the next. But you can experience a little bit of heaven on earth when you have Jesus in your life. And I invite you to come forward as we pray as well. So as we sing this last song, why don't you come forward if you feel that God is leading you to come forward? And we can pray, we can confess, we can simply say that, hey, I'm not free, but I want Jesus to make me free. If that's you, please come forward during this last song.